we can avoid that $100 million investment in transmission lines and distribution lines and capital infrastructure.
This week, we learn how a municipal utility is using solar to cut the cost of upgrading its electric grid. Listen in to hear Michael Deering, Vice President of Environmental Affairs at the Long Island Power Authority, explain how getting more local solar means spending less on new power lines. I'm John Farrell, and this is Local Energy Rules, a podcast sharing powerful stories of successful local renewable energy and exposing the policy and practical barriers to its expansion. Michael, welcome to Local Energy Rules.
Thank you, John. Pleasure to be here today.
LIPA, the Long Island Power Authority, is one of the largest municipal utilities in the country. Why is it that you're looking to your customers for solar power?
Well, there are really three reasons that a public utility would be looking to advance renewable energy in its marketplace. One is, it's good for the environment. The more clean, renewable power that we are producing, the less we have to rely on fossil fuels and the generators that consume those fossil fuels. The second reason is for the economy. Advancing renewable technology creates clean businesses and those clean jobs, clean green jobs, for Long Islanders here in our service territory. And the third reason is it's good for our customers and it's good for the utility. It's becoming much more cost effective to procure renewables. While there's still a premium today that you pay over the cost of fossil fuels, what we're seeing is through investments like LIPA and our customers in terms of buying and developing solar power, the costs are coming down. And as the costs come down, it becomes much more competitive with traditional types of generation. And as you look to the future, we would anticipate seeing those costs at some point crossing where it does become routine for utilities and for our customers to use even more renewable power.
So the program that you've used, at least the one that I'm most familiar with, is called a feed-in tariff program. And for those not familiar, the basic concept is that anybody who wants to generate energy from solar for the utility would get a long-term contract at a fixed price that would help them recover the costs of that investment. And they basically just plug into the grid and provide that power to the utility. How much solar has been installed under this feed-in tariff program, and is it making a dent in the energy needs of LIPA?
I would look at our solar programs in its entirety. Back in 2000-2001 timeframe, they were one of the utilities to come up with a customer rebate program where the utility would help buy down the cost of solar for a residential customer. That was ultimately expanded into our business customers. And today we have almost 7,300 homes and businesses on Long Island that are utilizing solar power to power their homes or businesses. A number of years ago, back in 2008, we expanded that program and we went out with a request for proposals for what I call utility scale, larger solar arrays that we would do by a purchase power agreement. As a result of that procurement, we had two projects developed. It was a 32-megawatt solar project at a federal property here on Long Island, the Brookhaven National Lab. And then we did carport projects with another one of our public partners, the county, for an additional 12.5 megawatts of power. Learning from both those customer programs as well as the utility scale program, what we came out with in 2012 was, as you acknowledged before, the Clean Solar Initiative, which is a feed-in tariff, which is basically, as you said, a standard offer to purchase renewable solar power from our customers. And what we went out with was a 50-megawatt project where we have fully subscribed that initial standard offer. And as of today, we have about 10 to 15% of those 50 megawatts developed. So we would anticipate over the course of the next year in 2014 to have that entire 50 megawatts developed and up in place, joining our other programs for what is 70, 50, 120, would be about 170 megawatts or so of renewable power that's coming into the LIPUS territory and helping us grow our renewable portfolio.
One thing I always find interesting, and the numbers start small, obviously, with solar being a newer technology and a lot of experience being built by utilities. Do you know how much that 170 megawatt is relative to the peak energy demand on a hot, sunny summer afternoon for the LIPA service territory?
I'm not so great with percentages, but on our highest peak days, about 6,000 megawatts, roughly. So you have about 170 megawatts. It's reducing our peak load by that 170 megawatts, and that means basically a small to medium-sized power plant does not have to operate. With that, not having to purchase the fuel, having the emissions from the fuel of that 170 megawatt power plant. So it is a significant cost saving when you look at the investment in solar for those peak usage days.
And for the nerds out there, I have calculated it's about 3% of the peak demand, which is a pretty significant chunk from solar that's largely within the Long Island territory. Speaking of that, you know, I had heard that transmission power line capacity into the New York City area is quite limited. You know, is that also a constraint for the Long Island Power Authority? Does that mean that you have to really look for more local power?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're at the end of the line. We're further than New York City. We've got those constraints in the Hudson River, in the Hudson area, and upstate. And it's very difficult to get the upstate power brought down to here. We have increased our ability to get into the other power markets through transmission cables, but we are very much an on-island generation-based utility. And that's very much in keeping with the regulatory requirements that utilities have to provide a significant portion of their power using on-island generation. So when we look to generation, particularly in the renewables space, we're looking to do it either on island or just offshore. Hopefully we will see offshore wind in the future. So we are producing it close, we're producing it here, and not to be understated, we're looking to use those local businesses and those local laborers to engineer it, to design it, to build it, to maintain it. It is a growing force here on the island.
So I had read about the premium that LIPA was paying for solar that was in strategic locations. Does that have to do with that economic development piece? Does it have to do with particular issues with the grid? Could you explain a little bit more about that payment? And just for reference for folks, it's as much as, I believe, 7 cents per kilowatt hour on that standard contract. But correct me if I'm wrong.
That's a great point, John. And it goes to 2 points. One is that transmission and distribution capacity that we have throughout the island and how the grid is set up. And for this new feed-in tariff that we have, it goes to the issue of load growth. Long Island, for those of you who may not be familiar with, is basically about 110 miles long. And at the end, we have two forks. And on the south fork of Long Island, East Hampton, Southampton, Montauk, in those areas, we are continuing to see load growth. We did some economic calculations and determined that it'd be about a $100 million investment to upgrade our transmission system and the generation that we would need to address that load growth on the South Fork of Long Island. So what we have done is, as part of our new clean solar initiative, it's an additional 100 megawatts of solar that we've gone out for a standard offer and to purchase. What we said is if you can get us 40 megawatts on the South Fork of Long Island, we will pay you 7 cents additional over the price. That's what we call the added value of solar. So for that 7 cents additional, we can avoid that $100 million investment in transmission lines and distribution lines and capital infrastructure. So what the board has said is we would rather see the investment and the advancement of these renewables that are cost effective under this particular circumstance rather than investing in the generation and the infrastructure that would be necessary in the alternative.
That seems like some great context for other conversations being had right now in Minnesota, for example. The recent solar energy law that was passed had a new value of solar tariff. And the idea is that the utility will sort of tally up all the ways in which solar can benefit their grid system by being close to demand or offsetting the need for new power plants. And it seems like what you're doing is really kind of like what's happening in Minnesota, is finding one of those ways to put a number on what value of solar can bring to the grid when it's built locally.
That's exactly right. And we've had the benefit of not only our internal resources, you know, our staff is very professional, has been very engaged in the advancement of renewables, particularly solar, over the years. But as we've been looking at our clean solar initiatives and our feed-in tariffs, you know, I've had the benefit of talking to the Clean Energy Network. I've talked to the folks from SEPA and SEIA, and we have tried to take their knowledge about what's happening nationally and bring it here to Long Power Authority and to our customers. And both the concepts of the feed-in tariff and now this added value associated with solar comes from that synergy that we have with the national organizations, the professional trade groups, as well as our local energy planners and our folks here at LIPA.
What's next for LIPA with solar power? You mentioned that this new round of feed-in tariff is 100 megawatts, and some of it hopefully in that specific part of Long Island. Will there be other programs like that? What's the next iteration?
We're not letting any grass grow under our feet here. We have issued a request for proposals for up to 280 megawatts of renewable power. And that could be a single technology like solar or wind, multiple technologies together, a very large project of 280 megawatts, or it could be a smaller project of a minimum size of 20 megawatts. So we've issued that request for proposal. We've gotten quite a bit of interest. We anticipate those proposals to be coming in the March of 2014 timeframe. And what we're also working on, and I anticipate issuing it by the end of the year for the public comment, is a 20 megawatt feed-in tariff, a standard offer to purchase renewables other than solar, some land-based wind, certainly fuel cell technology, offshore wind, although that's going to be more challenging. But we're trying to expand into other renewables as we continue to invest and grow our solar portfolio here on the island.
That was ILSR Senior Researcher John Farrell speaking with Michael Deering of the Long Island Power Authority. You can learn more about feed-in tariff programs like LIPA's from ILSR's 2012 report, U.S. Clean Programs. You can also learn about the value of solar energy to utilities in our series on Minnesota's new Value of Solar Law at energyselfrelientstates.org. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.